Imagine being a young boy who loses everything, your parents, your best friend, your beloved dog, only to find yourself living in the home of Adolf Hitler. This is the fate of Piero Fischer, a half-French, half-German orphan whose journey takes him from the streets of Paris to the Burg Hof. At 7, Piero's life crumbles when his German father, traumatized by the Great War, commits suicide, and his French mother dies of tuberculosis shortly after. After a brief stay with his Jewish friend Anschel's family, and then an orphanage, Piero receives an unexpected lifeline. His aunt Beatrix, who works as a housekeeper at the Burg Hof, offers him a home. The journey to the mountain fortress marks the beginning of Piero's transformation. Upon arrival, Aunt Beatrix immediately changes his name to the more German-sounding Peter and replaces his French clothes with traditional German attire. This seemingly innocent makeover foreshadows the more profound changes to come. For nearly a year, Piero lives in the shadows of the household until Hitler himself notices the blue-eyed, blonde-haired boy who embodies his Aryan ideal. Hitler's interest in Piero begins innocently. Walks with his dog Blondie, piano lessons, and stories about Germany's future. The Führer shapes the boy's mind through selected books and dismisses Piero's French father as weak, glorifying death for the fatherland. The pivotal moment arrives when Hitler gives Piero a Deutsches Jungvolk uniform. Despite initial hesitation, remembering past bullying from Hitler Youth, Piero's resistance vanishes when he sees his reflection. Pride fills him as he pledges his life to Hitler. This attention elevates Piero's status. He boasts about his connection to the Führer at school and begins mimicking Eva Braun, ordering servants with finger snaps. When Beatrix suggests limiting his time with Hitler, Piero defends their relationship, echoing Hitler's sexist view that politics should be left to men. The innocent orphan gradually transforms into a miniature Nazi craving authority and approval. Piero's moral collapse culminates during a Christmas celebration when he believes he's uncovered a plot against Hitler. Overhearing conversations between his aunt and Ernst the chauffeur, he witnesses Ernst receiving what appears to be poison. When Ernst insists Hitler eat the first slice of stolen cake, Piero intervenes. The chauffeur flees, and after interrogation, both Ernst and Beatrix are executed. As his aunt's body is dragged away, Piero meets Hitler's gaze and offers the Nazi salute. It was Piero who had climbed out of bed that morning, but it was Peter who returned to it now, before falling soundly asleep. This betrayal marks his complete transformation, sacrificing his own family for Hitler's approval, crossing a moral threshold from which there seems no return. Now 13 and serving as Scharfuhrer Fischer in the Hitler Youth, Peter wields his authority cruelly. When Emma the cook delivers a letter from his Jewish childhood friend Anschel, Peter violently rejects this connection to his past, demanding she destroy any future letters. By 1944, 15-year-old Peter wields considerable influence at the Burg Hof, yet beneath his arrogance lies profound emptiness. His attempts to reconnect with Katerina, a local girl unimpressed by his Nazi connections, reveal his desperate need for genuine connection. She refuses his invitation to Eva Braun's birthday party until her father, sensing political opportunity, accepts for them both. The celebration exposes the fracturing Nazi hierarchy as officials appear tense with the war turning against Germany. Katerina remains unimpressed by Hitler and his entourage, even criticizing his paintings without realizing he is the artist. Later, Peter's attempt to force himself on Katerina reveals his moral corruption. When Emma intervenes with a knife and laments how he's changed, Peter reports her to Hitler, resulting in her removal, likely to a concentration camp. As the Reich crumbles, Peter's isolation deepens. His final encounter with Hitler reveals a broken, paranoid man who leaves in rage. Abandoned at the Burg Hof as staff flee the approaching Allies, Peter faces Herta's devastating truth. Don't ever pretend that you didn't know what was going on here. You knew it all. At the Golden Mile camp, Peter confronts the horrifying truth about Hitler's final days and the systematic documentation of concentration camps. The Holocaust's magnitude, 6 million Jews murdered, forces him to face the consequences of the ideology he embraced. He realizes how thoroughly propaganda and the promise of belonging had manipulated him. After release, Peter wanders through Europe's bombed-out cities. In Antwerp, he forms a brief but meaningful friendship with Daniel, a Holocaust survivor whose numbered tattoo serves as an undeniable reminder of Nazi atrocities. Unable to face this evidence of his complicity, Peter flees to Amsterdam, becoming a teacher and building a life on carefully hidden secrets. Years later, a chance encounter with Jakob Stern, Anschel's childhood friend, forces Peter to confront his shame and shatters his anonymity. Returning to France in 1962, he visits the orphanage where his journey began and writes a confession to Ernst's sister about his role in her brother's execution. The novel's powerful conclusion comes when Peter discovers that Anschel survived the war and became a celebrated author writing about Holocaust experiences. Tracking down his childhood friend in Paris, Peter prepares to tell the full story of his corruption by power, hoping not for absolution, but for the chance to bear honest witness to his choices and their consequences. This final act represents his first step toward genuine redemption, not through forgiveness, which he knows he doesn't deserve, but through the painful acknowledgement of his moral failure. The meeting forces him to confront not just his actions, but the person he had become in that environment of normalized evil. The story raises profound questions. Can someone who participated in such evil ever truly make amends? Is acknowledgement enough, or does justice demand more? By leaving these questions unanswered, we're invited to consider our own beliefs about redemption and responsibility, while suggesting that true redemption begins with the courage to face one's own complicity without excuses. In our era of rising extremism and polarization, this exploration of ordinary people becoming complicit in extraordinary evil remains urgently relevant. Piero's gradual acceptance of extreme ideologies mirrors contemporary radicalization processes, where vulnerable individuals are incrementally drawn into radical positions until they defend the indefensible. The book challenges the comforting myth that evil is perpetrated only by monsters. Piero isn't inherently cruel. He's a normal boy shaped by manipulation and extraordinary circumstances. This recognition that ordinary people can commit atrocities under certain conditions warns us about our collective vulnerability to corruption. As extremism resurges globally, this story reminds us that the conditions enabling the Holocaust, fear, uncertainty, economic instability, and charismatic leadership, can recur. The transformation of an innocent boy into a Nazi youth officer serves as a cautionary tale about the fragility of moral boundaries and how easily the human heart can be led astray when desperately seeking belonging.